Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings in the name of the Lord and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower. I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page at warn-usa.com. You can listen to our Warn Radio episodes on danaglennsmith.com and warn-usa.com. Warn Radio is on the following platforms: Amazon Prime Music and Podcast, Spreaker, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Deezer, Spotify, Anchor, and Pocket Cast. And do not miss the featured posts this week of our in-depth biblical articles and radio shows, featured on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, Thy Many Gods, Who Shall Save You? And The Land of Shadows, featured on danaglennsmith.com, Perilous Living, Best and Worst of Times, Faultless to Stand Before the Lamb, Steal the Darkness, Christian Fiction Release, America, If Thy Foundations Be Destroyed, featured on warn-usa.com, No Other Gospel, The Rise of Islam and the Fall of the West, Faith, Persecuted, Love of God, Faith Life Journey, Christian Faith Persecution, Classic Warn Radio, Nations Drunk on Wine of the Harlot. And don't miss these WIVR Warn Radio weekly shows on Wednesday's Advocacy from April 3rd, Agape, Benevolent Love, Times of Trouble, Rebuilding Lives, Gospel is Real, Advocacy. Thursday's Battle Lines from April 4th, Days of Old, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 212. Friday's Sound the Shofar from April 5th, The Word of the Lord, Nations, Promises, Phrases, and Perpetuity, Part 12. Be sure to get your copy of The Rising. It's a Christian fiction thriller by the Watchman Dana G. Smith, a story of personal survival, the struggle of a nation, and the love of two people set amidst the prophetic landscape of perilous times. Hidden within the storyline of The Rising is the truth of what's happening in America now. Check out The Rising. When he who opposes rises, believers overcome by faith. And you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Ingram, Walmart, Angus & Robertson. The Rising ebook can be found on Google Play. You can also get your copy of The Rising by going to danaglennsmith.com. Visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop, where we feature The Rising and other Christian books, as well as resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's great to be here on this Thursday, May 11th. We're almost at the middle of the... Not May. Sorry, April 11th. We're almost at the middle of April.
You know, and I think of April, and I think of real spring. I think of summer. So,
things are turning green. Makes me feel good.
What I'm not thinking about is many of the issues that are out there to think about. And I think that people need to understand that. You know, the thing I do see is massive. What would you call it? Nasty, ill-gotten, corrupt, mean.
Yeah, spirit of meanness.
Hatred in society in America. And I think the worst of it is in the big city. Many years ago, David Wilkerson warned what would come to the big cities, and what we see in the big cities is pretty much what he warned about. He also warned of 1,000 fires that he saw in New York. So, we are in the middle of battle lines. That's the name of the segment here. This is Isaiah.
So we're at Everlasting Redeemer, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 213 on battle lines. Here in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, we find the plea of Isaiah asking the Lord to look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. This excerpt is about finding the mercies of God toward Isaiah and the children of Judah. The prophet asks, "Where is thy mercies toward me?" You can find these words and the context in our study in Isaiah, beginning in chapter 63, verses 15 to 19. The past experiences of Jehovah on the fiery mount to the prophet Moses, leading them to the promised land as well as in the promised land. It is today, as Christians as well, if we wander from the Lord, he allows trouble to thwart our way and make the rebellion even harder to justify, in hopes this will deter us and bring us back to repentance and obedience. Everlasting Redeemer. And now back to you. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, indeed, we are beginning with Isaiah 63 and verse 16. But we're going through this, and, you know, Kylan DeLeesh and Albert Barnes, they're all scholars, long ago scholars that read Isaiah, that went through it, among other things. And in this portion of Scripture, verse 15, which we did last week, and we're going to do verse 16 here, Kylan DeLeesh says Israel at the present time is at the present time in such a condition, in other words, it's not good, as to cause it to look back with longing eyes to the time of the Mosaic redemption. Look from heaven and see, from the habitation of thy holiness in wilderness. Where is thy zeal, thy display of might, the pressure of thy bowels and thy compassions are restrained towards me? In other words, he isn't seeing them at this moment. Israel is wondering where it was. And of course, Israel, when we speak of Israel, by this time, Isaiah has already passed a lot of the things. We've already encountered Judah going into captivity, being there 70 years, and coming out and being delivered back into Judah and Jerusalem. The northern tribes, they were totally carried away by Sennacherib's father of the Assyrians, and many of them were swallowed up in the nations through that judgment. Now the Jews are careful to point out that there are some of the lost tribes in Israel today. And there is no doubt that prophecies point to the fact that God is going to bring Israel totality, both houses back, the house of Judah and the northern tribes. But that's in the future, yet to come. Albert Barnes looks at this stuff, and he picks up on the verse which says, "Look down from heaven." And he says, "This commences an earnest appeal that God would have mercy on them in their present calamities and trials. They entreat him to remember his former mercies and to return and bless him as he had done in ancient times." Now see, there is no doubt about it that Israel at this point in time is not where it was in times of old. I mean, even the modern Israel hasn't reached there. In the old time Israel, when they came out of Egypt and led by Moses, Moses was the only prophet that spoke face to face with the Lord God. And he guided them, and they saw him on the mount, the Lord on the mount. There's a lot of things, miracles, signs, and wonders, wandering in the desert for 40 years and being provided. So these verses, you know, where are you? You're going through trouble. You're not where you need to be. Where are you, Lord? You know, where are these miracles of our forefathers? And, you know, even Israel today, They're in a lot of trouble. They've got Iran. They're expecting a major missile attack from Iran at any time. Hezbollah is still firing rockets, and that's on one of their borders. Hamas is still around, and they're not totally defeated yet. It is a mess. Israel is hated the world over, and they're not even the ones that started this mess. And all the captives haven't been returned. So even today, Israel is in a mess. And we know from Scripture and being in the end times that Israel is going to go through some situations here. And this is not the worst of them. There's others to come. But yet, the Lord in the end will come and rescue them. Now in Isaiah 63:16, this is what they say. Now, I like this. "Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not." Now, when we talk about Israel here, we think of Jacob. You know, the father of Israel. But yet here we have, and they're talking directly to the Lord, our God. "O Lord, our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting." They're talking about Jehovah here. And they say, "Doubtless thou art our Father." I like that. You know, you can't deny us. You're our Father. You know, we're your kids. We might have been, you know, doing things that weren't right, but we're still your kids. And they're right. God isn't going to totally forsake him. But yet, when we look at the Lord when he came, and in his Redeemer role as a suffering servant, one of the things he told Israel, he was weeping over Jerusalem, and he was praying for Israel. And he said, at that time, "Your house is left unto you desolate." And it was a time after that that there was another false prophet that showed up, and the Lord had prophesied and said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, but there will come someone in his name, and him you will receive. Well, that actually happened because there was another Jewish prophet that showed up and led them all in a rebellion against the Roman Empire. And General Titus of the Romans came in and defeated this guy and defeated the Jews. And in the process, Josephus reports that he killed 1 million Jews at that time. And from that time forward, there was no temple, and their house was left unto them desolate, up till the time when they get past the trouble that Hitler did with them and killed a bunch of them, and when they finally got back into the promised land. And so you're seeing, you know, this house of Israel, the ones that you have there now, they're trying to build this and keep it going. And this is mainly has been Judah, you know, and that's the one who was in there at the time, because when all this happened, the houses of Israel was divided after the Solomon Empire because of his sin. So, you know, so you're going to look back and you're going to say, well, you're our father. I mean, we've had a lot of issues here and we haven't been good, but you can't deny us. You are our father. They knew the Lord was their father and redeemer, because they say, thy name is from everlasting. They knew who he was. Even the Lord, when speaking to the woman at the well, he said, salvation is of the Jews. We know who we worship. But see, the woman at the well, being a Samaritan, she didn't know. She didn't know at all. And so, you know, you think about this. You know, you're our father. You're not going to, you know, you can't deny us. We're here. We need your help. You know, and you're thinking, you know, and even in Christianity, you know, one of the things we say a lot, and especially, you know, when you get into tough times, and you don't know if you're going to make it through, remember the times that God delivered you. And use that to build your faith. You can remember the times that he spoke to you. You can remember the times that he comforted you. You can remember the times that the Spirit of God came upon you. There's a lot of things that you can remember. But basically, when you look at these scriptures and you see, it looks like, you know, Israel is saying, we're here, you know, and we want to know, where is your majesty? I mean, you're just leaving us down here, you know. We feel like we're just fighting it ourselves. And sometimes that happens. God does that on purpose. And if you want the blessing of the Lord, you have to seek him and stay with him once you sought him. You know, you can't seek him one day and then go wandering off the next. But the thing that's good is that the way they say this, doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. And that's because, you know, Abraham is long gone, and so is Jacob is long gone, and the one that's left is Jehovah God. And that's who they're depending on. And so Albert Barnes says this, and I agree with him, notwithstanding appearances to the contrary, in other words, you know, no matter what you may think of the situation, though we should be disowned by all others, which Israel, especially even today, you can look and you can say Israel has been betrayed by Biden in America. They have been chastised and kind of standoffish with Saudi Arabia. Jordan, who they've been pretty close with, disowned him, practically. The entire world protesting throughout the world have disowned Israel. And they all want Hamas, who is the one that started this all and killed thousands of Israelis. And they even put the babies in the oven and baked them. They raped the women, and there's still a whole bunch of them that they're keeping as hostages. And this is who the world is rooting for. You ever wonder where the morals are? It sure isn't in the world. The world is corrupt. The world is going to be judged by God. The world will turn on Christians. So if you're sitting in an easy-peasy church in America today, I'm telling you that you need to get on fire for God.
Get out of that church.
And you need to get out of that church, Tower says, and I agree with her. See, the thing of it is that it... The devil's going to send his own Savior here, and now he ain't going to get you to heaven, I can tell you that. He'll get you to hell real quickly. So you need to wake up, you need to seek the Lord and get there, and see the children of Israel at the same time. You know, they're going to face this stuff, and they're already facing it. And Christians have been facing it. So make no mistake, there's a lot of stuff on the table here as we go through this. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, our Father and our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Delivered from Egypt, delivered from enemies, delivered from Babylon, the Lord our Father and our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. Now I put those in there to remind you. They were delivered from Egypt. They were delivered from their enemies. They were delivered from Babylon. They were delivered more than that, but those are just some of the highlights. Now, we got a few scriptures to put in here and just help you to understand a few things. 1 Peter 1:18 through 21. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, of course, that is predominantly Christian scripture. There is no doubt about that. But Peter is a Jew. He's a born-again Jew. He's an apostle. He knows the issues with Israel. And the thing is, God is in charge, both in working with Israel to fully redeem both houses, and Paul covers this in Romans 11. In Malachi 2:10, have we not all one Father? Now, of course, this is Old Testament. Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now that's an admission about the sin of Judah. And they admit there they were profaning the covenant of their fathers. So they wonder, you know, do not we have all one Father? Yeah, but if you profane the covenant, you're not going to have the Father. You're going to be chastised. And Israel, they are not of the nations. You know, you can say that, yeah, they are a nation in this world. And America has supported them. I'm telling you, even though the Biden White House has been adamant and against what Israel is doing, Americans are 110% for Israel. The Biden White House isn't even on the same page as Americans that support Israel, and there's a lot of us.
And so, have we not one father? Yeah, you have a father. But remember what Paul said to the Christians. You know, God's going to chastise you. And if you reject that chastisement, are you not a bastard? In other words, God will cease to be your father because you've rejected him. You're not doing what he says. And the same thing with the children of Israel. They found that out. Now see, at the end of the book of Isaiah, he's going to close this thing up, and he's bringing this out and dealing with these issues, because Israel is going to continue. And the ministry of Isaiah is coming to a close. So his book is still there. And we're still looking at the words he wrote. We're discussing them. We're talking about them. Because even today, God has to, you know, he's still there. And he's still looking at Israel. But see, Israel hasn't had a temple. They haven't done any sacrifices, which today would probably be kind of unacceptable, but still, that's how they do things. But yet, there is going to come a time when they will recognize who the Messiah is. They will see him, and they will weep, and they will repent. The entire nation will. And that's going to come, but it's going to come through some hard times. And I got news for you, Christians. Many of you think you're going to be taken out into la-la land in heaven when all the trouble starts. I got news with you. Paul said, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. My lands, if you've been a Christian in America, and I've been here a long time, and so has Tower, and I got news for you. You know, we do things on the persecuted church. And I can tell you, there are Christians, and they're losing their lives for being a Christian. And there's a lot of them losing their lives today. And for you sitting on your butt in a cushion-covered, you know, pew, listen to some guy up there that's supposed to be preaching the truth, and it comes out as sugar and sweet nausea because he's not interpreting Scripture right. You'd better wake up and get out of there. You need the true Word of God. It needs to blister your heart. It needs to wake you up. It needs to wake America up. We don't need any sugar pushers here. You've heard of diabetes? Yeah, well, Christians have something like that. It's called forget-itis. And there's a lot of them that forgot. Maybe they never knew. Now, Isaiah 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And of course, that's in Isaiah 44. And that's some while back. We're in 63. We're near the end of the book. But I love that scripture, because that is plain and in your face. See? Because we look in the New Testament, Yahshua, Jesus, is the Savior of all men. And he is the Almighty in Revelation 1. But there makes no doubt that what he said was, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that's been on purpose by the Lord God. But in the Old Testament, he was talking to Israel and telling them flat out, you know, and this is Isaiah speaking, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. You're the King of Israel, Lord. That's who you are. You're Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer. Whose Redeemer? Israel's Redeemer. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. The Lord over all agencies. I am the first and I am the last. Guess what Jesus says in Revelation? I'm the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. He is the Almighty in chapter 1. That is what the Father let him do. He appointed him, anointed him to be the Savior and be the Lord and the Judge. Isaiah 54:5. For thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Now see, this is relationship. See, thy Maker is thy husband, Israel, the Lord of hosts, the Lord over all agencies again, meaning He judges all aspects of it, in charge of all aspects of everything concerning Israel. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth. I like that. See, because there's a whole earth left out there, see? You know, you got Israel, and then you got the whole earth. And when you were back in the Old Testament, there was Israel, and then there was the Gentiles. That was all the other people. And the Gentiles were the ones known as the Goyim, and they were the ones who, well, they served idols. And they were just flat filthy, and some of the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with them because you couldn't get near them. They were filthy. They didn't know the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, you can take those stinking Gentiles that are lost and filthy and full of sin, and you can make them into new creatures in Christ. That's what Christ came to do. And that was on the plan all along. So thank God for that. Now, Jeremiah 31, 8, 9. Now, see, this is a good verse. Behold, I'll bring them. This is two verses, Jeremiah 31, 8 through 9. And this is good coming from Jeremiah. And he's in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, which is a real good chapter, because a lot of things happen in that chapter. Behold, I'll bring them from the north country, gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind, the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with the child together. A great company shall return thither, and they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I'll cause them to walk by rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. And Ephraim is a good name here because Ephraim has the same blessings as Abraham had on him. In him shall all the nations be blessed. So these are important verses. These mean a lot here. And Israel, you know, they did come from all over the earth, all over everywhere. And of course this, from the north country, that predominantly, when we look at that, you know, we look at them coming from Babylon after judgment and coming down into Israel. But there's going to be another gathering, and this will unite the house of Israel. Both houses will be united, and all 12 tribes will be together. And if you look in Revelation, you're going to see that out of these 12 tribes, there's a bunch of them that are sealed. Now, let's go to Isaiah 63:17. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways? I laugh because, why did you make me sin, Lord? You gave me a house too close to the bar, and I can't stay out of the bar. Yeah, it was his fault. And hardened our heart from thy fear. Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. And Colin DeLeese talks about this. He said, when men have scornfully and obstinately rejected the grace of God. Now, I like when he says this because he talks about the grace of God. Now, see, in the Old Testament, you don't talk about the grace of God much. You always talk about the law of God. You talk about, you know, the Ten Commandments. You talk about the Pentateuch. You talk about what is in Deuteronomy and all the law and in Leviticus. That's what you talk about. But Kyle and DeLeish are bringing up the fact that when men, and we do, we see it today. We have an entire nation called America, and there's a lot of people that have scornfully and obstinately rejected God's grace. So when judgment comes, what are they going to do? They're going to be deceived, and they're going to die in their sins. You know, at one point when Jesus was talking with the Jews, the first thing he said out of his mouth was, you will die in your sins. Then he explains to them, unless you believe I am he, the Messiah that was to come, you will die in your sins. That's why I said it to you, that you will die in your sins. He was saying that to the Jews. Now, these are people, including the high priest, you know, during the Roman Empire, the Jews. Remember what the Lord said about the Jews hanging around, and, you know, they would fast in public, and they would do all this and make it look how holy they were. And God doesn't like that. So make no mistake, Israel has been tough. Now, see, you look at Christians, I'll tell you, our time's coming here. You need to pay attention. Now, two reasons are assigned for this petition. Now, what it says, why have you made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Well, see, when you begin to fall away from the Lord, you leave him. He doesn't leave you. And in order to get back in his graces, you got to approach him and seek his forgiveness. See, forgiveness, and I seen this somewhere when they were talking about forgiveness. They say, you know, if you ask forgiveness, you know, the forgiveness, the option of forgiveness to even get forgiven is with the person given the forgiveness. And see, through Christ, it is clear that we can approach him and ask him to forgive us. But there are people that have sinned against God that can't be forgiven, and we are warned about that. Blaspheming of the Holy Spirit's one of them. So when we talk about being forgiven, and even when we talk about Israel here, the whole thing here is God doesn't have to do anything. But he does. And so as a result, you know, and Kyle and Delise say this, and this is true, because you can pick this out in Christianity too, that God gives them up to their wanderings. He makes their heart incapable of faith. He turns them over to whatever they're doing and lets them go. And that's what he did with Judah when they were doing a lot of things that weren't right, you know, pouring out offerings unto the Queen of Heaven. There's the Ashtaroth. They were also passing their children through fire unto Baal. He gave them up to the whole thing and sent them into Babylon for 70 years for judgment. He destroyed their temple. He destroyed Jerusalem, a lot of it, destroyed their walls. They couldn't harvest their land. Now, as Christians, it's in Scripture. It tells us flat out. You reject, you know, the chastisement of God and his leading when he tells you to do something, you're stepping on the edge of rejecting and God just saying, okay, go your own way. Now, you see, I say that, and I have a reason to say that, because I fought God for 12 years. You'd never known, but I did. Now, see, I never stopped believing. I just didn't like some of the situation and what had happened. But I eventually got over it, because I found that as I kept my stubbornness, things got tougher. And so I decided there is a cure, but it's not being stubborn with God, let me tell you that. So, and see, and Kyle even talks about, and Delete talk about the reasons for this petition and for the return of the gracious presence of God. And he says the first one, they're still servants of Jehovah. They're still people that are servants, and they're to be found. And there's also the divine election of grace, and I like that election, because it's used a lot concerning Israel, because the election of Israel to grace and to be blessed and saved by Jehovah is throughout the Old Testament, and it's in the New Testament. Paul deals with this. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, if you have a problem with God, you're going to wind up erring away. You're going to go your own way, and God is going to put things in your path to wake you up. Now, of course, you can always go run out there and totally disown him and tell him to leave you alone. And then all you have to think about is the devil will be there to carry you into a new delusion that'll send you into the pit of hell when you die. So you need to understand that God is there as your father to chastise you as a son or a daughter. And those are words of Paul. And when we look at this thing here, Israel, in this 63rd chapter, they're going through a lot of this. You could call it an identity crisis. You could call it a get right with God crisis. It's, you know, you get out of Babylon and you have Jerusalem back. And you have the temple back. But things still aren't right. You need to finish giving everything to God. And you need to believe that He will take care of you. And even today, Israel is facing the same thing. And so the grace of God and that election, meaning they were elected kids way back because of Abraham. Abraham was favored of God, and God was going to give his descendants land. These Jews today, it was nothing that they did. They're just Jews. It was done because of Abraham found favor with God. Abraham also believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Abraham wasn't under the law. Matter of fact, he did the same thing that you and I do when we get saved. God saves us. You know, we believe Him. And God imputes that to us for righteousness' sake, because we believe on Yahshua. In Zechariah 1:12, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? This is 70 years. This is during their time in Jerusalem. I mean in Babylon. Zechariah covers it. And in Zechariah 14, you'll find the Messiah coming back at the time when Israel's being overran during the tribulation. And they win. And they find out who the Lord is. Truly. So here's the angel of the Lord asking our God and our Father, how long are you going to do? Now, see, they probably knew it was 70, but they wanted to, apparently felt that they needed to ask him, are you going to deliver him now? Not that God needed a reminder, but I think it's funny. You got an angel there asking about it. How long are you going to do that? He didn't ask anything wrong. But he asked it. Man, and I'll tell you, that's the kind of angel you need. Oh Lord, how long is it going to be when you won't answer their prayers? How long is it going to be before they really find the truth? Second Thessalonians 2:10-12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness. Now this is just a portion of the time of delusion that's going to be on the earth, And the ones who rejected the love of the truth, which is believing on Yeshua, Jesus, and they're not going to do it, so they're going to follow a delusion, and they will follow a delusion. They will believe a lie. Why? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, see, if you look at some of the things, and I do a lot of research online, do a lot of work online, and I can tell you that in America today, in our cities, we are in dire trouble. You and I ain't, but a lot of these people that are in there are. And there's going to be a delusion, and they're going to all follow it. You think of that. Ezekiel 14, 7 through 9. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separates himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his hearts, and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I'll cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I'll stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Now, are you paying attention? This is Ezekiel talking about how God works. And it's no different than a Christian, except you got the grace of God and you can repent. But see, we're coming to a time when God is going to automatically cause them to have a delusion. And what does God say here? If for every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, that's usually a goyim or a Gentile, who separates themselves from me, put up idols in his heart, and puts his iniquity before his face, so it becomes a stumbling block and can't come to God, and he goes to a prophet to inquire of him, you know, and wants him to seek the Lord for him, the Lord will answer. And he will answer that prophet himself, and he will tell him, what does he say? And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I'll cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, you want to take on the Lord, you want to go against what he says, he'll cut you off. And you look at what's going to happen in these end of days. I don't care what religion you are, I don't care what sex you are, I don't care where you live, God controls and works the nations of men. He's here to save people, and he's not here to mess around, and he's not here to watch you do things that might affect others. And so these are scriptures talking about the sovereignty of God and what he'll do. Now we're in Isaiah 63:18 through 19, and these are the last two verses in this chapter. And we have about 7 minutes left. And see, Colin DeLeach bring up something here. The existing condition of Israel, and that's all these verses we're looking at, looks like a withdrawal of his grace, or in other words, favor. And it is impossible that these contrasts should cease unless Jehovah comes down from heaven as a deliverer of his people. In other words, the way things are, Jehovah is still his deliverer of his people. But it can look like, as the people, you know, where are you? Even Christians say that. I mean, I fought with God for 10 years. There's 10 years. You know, you can say that, where are you, Lord? Well, the Lord is still the same place he was. Problem of it is, I wasn't where I needed to be. You know, God don't speak to sinners unless they say, God, forgive me. If you approach him with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, you will find him, and you confess your sins, you come to him and seek him with everything that you have in you, he will hear you. And the only problem that Israel has is the same problem a lot of Christians have had. It's called sin and pride. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down the sanctuary. Well, they did. Why? Well, the children of Israel were carried away captive to Babylon. There was no sanctuary left by the time they got done with it. Yeah, the people of thy holiness possessed it but a little while. Well, they had it for quite a while in times of years. But in the times of ages and of God, it was just a little while. And so 63:18 reflects the past, and they reference the temple of the Lord. And the whole context of, they got judgment for their sins. And Babylon is the one who took Judah captive. And Jeremiah, who was one of the main prophets, telling Judah to repent, they hated him. Even threw him in a pit one time, and he got out of it. But Jeremiah was in the middle of Jerusalem when the armies of Babylon went in there. And they told him, we know who you are. You're Jeremiah. You can do anything you want, or you can stay here. You can come with us. You can do whatever you want to do. We know who you are. God said he'd be all right. He was. But see, the whole issue here has to do with hard attitude. And so they get back, they get delivered, and they're in their thing, you know, back in the temple. They're away from Babylon. So God wants to know, are you going to walk in the way I want you to walk? Now see, God is not a politician. Thank God for that. You know, he's not doing this to get elected next year. He's God forever. And he wants people that are going to obey and show him their love for him by that obedience and faith. So, in verse 19 it says, we are thine, thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. And of course, they were not called by thy name. Those are the ones who took over everything. And the reason they took it over is because God sent Judah into captivity because of their idolatry and other things. So the Lord is reminded here that the Jews and Judah are saying, we are thine, and those who took us captive destroyed the temple and did not see Jehovah ruling over Babylon and the enemies of Judah. And of course, nothing is mentioned here that it was because Judah fell away from Jehovah. But see, Judah, even in captivity, they had been called, and their favoritism going back to Abraham has never changed. They're always going to be that. They're always going to be connected to Jehovah. I mean, yeah, to Abraham and Jehovah. And so whether you like him in Israel or not, that's really not the issue. Because they got someone bigger than you. And that is, yes, we've got Christians who were saved, but we've got Jews that will become that way and totally forgiven in time in the workings of the Lord. And so we're coming down to the bottom line. I have a number of scriptures for this, but we're not going to really have a lot of time to do them. Isaiah 63, 7 through 10. We did this one not too long ago. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. That's how Israel got out of Babylon. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. Now this is really in the beginning. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. Now I like that angel of his presence, that phrase right there. Because there was always a presence there to save Israel. Even when Moses was running them, you know, was leading them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Now, whether you realize it or not, God is doing that with Christians too. But they rebelled, vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. That is why all this happened and why God is working to redeem them now. And that is also something that happens to Christians when they rebel against God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for your love and mercy, your kindness. Thank you for what you've done for Israel. Save Israel in all this trouble they're getting into now. Make a way for them, Father, according to your abundant mercies. And I ask, Father, that you would send the angel of the Lord to keep Israel and protect them from their many enemies, and to rescue the hostages. Father, and bless this word to those that hear it, whenever they hear it. Body, mind, soul, and spirit, bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for being here tonight. We appreciate you. We love you. We always hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. Thank you for all you do for the King of Glory, Christ Jesus. And please pray for your brethren around the world. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for us as we pray for you. And we love you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Listen to the shows, read the articles. You can reach us on our contact page on either one of our websites and send us a message. And until next time, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. May he direct your paths and bless your sustenance, your children. And may he make an abundant way for you and your family. Until next time, may the mercies of God be with you and the guidance of his Spirit lead the way. We thank you for listening. Shalom. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.